there is no shortage of talent back home. There is definitely a shortage of opportunity in the arts. Opportunities in college for the arts is very slim. It's not their focus back home. That's why I came here.
Joy Asiato is an international student from the Philippines who just completed her first year at Brigham Young University, BYU, in Provo. She says the process to obtain her student visa was challenging and expensive. Loans from a benefactor made it possible.
The education BYU offers, I'm really grateful for it, and I think the training I get in my art is really, really good here. Like, the people here impress me, and they're just so talented, and the professors are really passionate about what they do.
Most of Asiato's classes will be offered face-to-face this fall, so she may not be impacted by the modified F-1 visa requirements, but she is concerned about what will happen when BYU, like many universities in the state, transitions all coursework online after the Thanksgiving holiday.
And the new guidelines of ICE also said that at any point that the school transitions online, because of like an outbreak, we still have to go home. So it's just, there's no certainty for us right now. It feels very unwelcoming and tense without giving us any reason. It's sort of, you know, it sort of terrifies us and it sort of makes us really anxious.
Kevin Richards, attorney and member manager for Richards & Richards, an Ogden law firm that provides immigration counsel, explained the student F-1 visa.
So generally, the F-1 visa is for an in-residency or a student applying and then attending regular classes, right? So if a person is basically online classes, they really don't qualify for an F-1 visa. If they do have online classes, there still has to be a percentage that they take that is an in-person class. Now the question arises is that the colleges aren't opening up for in-classroom work because of COVID, whether that's really going to apply or not, because they don't really have an option at that point, right?
To obtain an F-1 visa, Richards says the student has to apply and be accepted at a university, passing all entrance exams, including a proficiency test in English language. The final step includes an interview at their local U.S. embassy, where students must show sufficient financial resources. Once here, the university files a Form I-20 that verifies the student attends and completes courses that meet the visa requirement. Typically, that is a maximum of 1 3-credit course online. Richards says the universities typically advise international students through these processes and help them ensure they maintain good standing in student visa requirements. As immigration counsel, his office primarily works with persons seeking to immigrate or seeking citizenship.
What these students need to do is they need to know what the terms and what's expected of them concerning their F-1 visa, and they have to maintain contact with their ombudsman and be in status with their thing. Because as long as they're in status, then there's always possibilities, right?
Any future path to citizenship requires that an international student remain in compliance at all times with their student visa. He says that it can be hard right now to keep abreast of requirements for visas and immigration in general due to the recent state of flux in government regulations. In March, ICE exempted students from the rule, allowing students to complete all online classes, remaining in residence in the U.S. and still be in compliance with student visa restrictions. Monday, that ruling was changed again. Renato Romero is a graduate student from Brazil, working on his MBA at Weber State University, WSU. He says WSU has been very welcoming and provided guidance to walk smoothly through what can be a very painful application process. He thinks the new ruling offers flexibility to adapt to WSU plans for hybrid fall classes, but is concerned about the longer-term changes that may come if WSU changes plans in response to the spread of coronavirus.
As I understand this policy, this flexibility for this semester, but I don't know how is that clear for the spring semester or for some winter semesters, because we can't have a second wave. Everybody's saying about a second wave, but we don't know how big that wave is going to be.
Despite the uncertainty, Romero is optimistic about the future. He believes it is very important for everyone to recognize the value of diversity, especially in these critical times.
Every time after times like these, the world changes a lot, because it's times that's challenging your capacity to adapt to new situations, to innovate, to think outside the box, to emerge new leaderships, and, you know, like giving a new direction. So it's very important to think about the diversity, to see the things with abundance mentality. When you see things with abundance mentality, so we can see limitless opportunities, limitless results.
With Utah Public Radio, I'm Harriet Kornacion.